Welcome to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today's program is one that we recorded several months ago with Pastor Brett Baggett. I know you'll enjoy this interview. And then the next 2 weeks, we will have a message of his that we split into two pieces. So sit back and enjoy the interview. Today on our program, we have Brother Brett Baggett, and I'd like for you to just tell us a little bit about yourself, Brett.
Well, my name is, like you said, Brett Baggett. I'm a pastor of a Reformed Baptist church in Muskogee, Oklahoma. I'm one of the three pastors that we have here at this church, and we planted the church in 2011. We're a 1689 confessional Reformed Baptist church. I have one wife, five children, and I spend the majority of my time preaching, counseling, shepherding the flock of God that is among me here, and then I give a lot of my time to training the men in our church to be shepherds of their homes, shepherds of their small group Bible studies they lead, and then some of the men that are in our training are desiring pastoral ministry. And so with the shepherd school that we do, we're also training up pastors to either serve alongside of us in this assembly that we shepherd or to be sent out as church planters or pastors in other congregations. I also serve on the board of an organization called Rescue Those. And Rescue Those exists to educate, equip, and mobilize the saints in the name of Christ and for the glory of God, to rescue the preborn being led to slaughter. I give a lot of my time to shepherding the flock, training men, and to seeking to equip believers to rescue those being taken away to death.
Amen. Thank you for that. Now, I first met you in February of 21. I had come out to Oklahoma for the Oklahoma Abolish Abortion Conference, and heard you speak there, and had a little bit of a short visit with you there, and then you were here for our Abolish Abortion Conference in Kansas, and got a chance to talk with you a little bit and to set this up. I look forward to getting to know you better as time goes on. But let's get right into this. My first question for you is, I'd like for you to tell us how you see or how you define abolishing abortion.
That's a great question, Jim. I would define abolishing abortion, the abolition or abolish is really a technical term that would mean to make it illegal to carry off the preborn to death. So basically, abolishing abortion is establishing justice for our neighbors who are still in the womb by, to put it simply, it would just apply the homicide code in various states. It would apply that equally to all human beings from the moment of fertilization so that the same laws in my state, Oklahoma, that apply to me, that keep me protected from being murdered, would actually apply to all human beings made in the image of God from the moment of fertilization. So abolishing abortion is in the name of Jesus Christ, armed with his word, saying this is what the Lord says. He has made man in his image. Therefore, it is wrong to murder any image bearer. And abolishing abortion is saying we're not going to try to regulate it as the pro-life movement has been doing for nearly 50 years and just have regulations for when, where, how, and why children can actually be carried off to death. But we want to abolish the practice, just like slavery was abolished, and now it is illegal to man steal and to own slaves in the United States. We want it to be illegal state by state and nationally and then worldwide. We want it to be illegal to murder human beings. Right now it is not being upheld that it is illegal to murder children in the womb.
Well, the first and most simple question to that would be, how are we going to do that? How do we make it illegal?
Well, the Lord has instituted civil government and given a sword to the governing authorities to uphold justice, to uphold the good, and to threaten the evildoer with punishment, as he says in Romans 13, 1 through 4. And so one of the ways we do that is by speaking to those who represent us in our state legislature and pleading with them to do what the Lord says he's instituted them to do, and to protect the weak and the innocent, to stop showing partiality to the wicked and allowing the preborn to be slaughtered in the womb. And so it's as simple as passing a bill of equal protection and abolition in the state legislature that then would be upheld by the governor and the lieutenant governor, and would be upheld by everyone in the legislature, and would just simply make it illegal to kill babies. So that's one of the main ways that we would do it. That's how we would do it legislatively. And it would be when the church rises up and tells those who represent them in their state house to make it illegal to carry off the preborn to slaughter, make abortion illegal, and that's when it's going to happen.
You said when the church rises up. Can you kind of draw us a picture of what that means?
Yeah, sure. In my estimation, if those who profess the name of Jesus Christ would rise up and actually stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, or as Proverbs 30 puts it, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and just tell those who actually represent them in their state legislature to establish justice and give equal protection under law to all image bearers, then our House reps and our state senators would actually do that. Now, for instance, a few years ago in the state of Oklahoma, our teachers for public education, they went on strike, and they all went up, thousands of them went up to the state capitol and demanded a pay raise. And though our legislature didn't want to increase taxes, didn't want to necessarily give a raise to these teachers, they did it because the sheer number of their constituents rising up and saying, this is what we want, this is what's right, give us this, and they did it. Now, in Oklahoma, if we just had, for instance, Southern Baptists alone, where there are over 500,000 of them in Oklahoma, you think if just the Southern Baptists alone started speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves and telling our governing authorities to establish equal protection and give justice to those in the womb, they would do it. But the problem is that many who profess the name of Christ don't obey Christ when it comes to what he tells us to do concerning our neighbors. He says in Luke 6:31, as you want other people to treat you, treat them like that. As you want to be treated, treat other people like that. So that's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Put yourself in someone else's situation and give the love and care to them that you would want given to you. And so if Christians would just simply obey the golden rule and say, what would I want my neighbors to do for me if currently it were legal to murder me? What would I want done? And do that for your preborn neighbor, then you would be calling your governing authorities to actually make it illegal for anyone to get an abortion and kill an innocent child. So that's why I say when the church rises up, the church can't expect those who do not have the Spirit of God and are not reconciled to God to actually stand up for what is right and what is just. And so we who have been saved by Christ and given his Spirit, we understand his word, being spiritual people who accept the things of God. It's our duty to stand up and to call for and establish justice for our neighbors.
You know, I have a pet peeve, so to speak, of people who profess Christ and yet have no desire for him or his word. I'm not talking about the ones who misunderstand and need to be trained. I'm talking about those who say they're Christians but could care less that their preborn neighbors are being slaughtered. They could care less if they hear the word of God or not. They could care less if they join someone in fellowship. I do some training of pastors in another country that is hostile to the gospel. And when I am working with them sometimes, they have seen our American church and they try to adopt things that they see in the American church. And I'm constantly telling them, do not. The word of God is your measuring stick. It is not the American church.
Amen to that.
I would love to see those who truly belong to Jesus Christ step up and do exactly what you have just said. Step up and stand in the gap. Step up and be heard. What can those in the local churches who hear this, what can they do to encourage others in their church and to stand up themselves?
Well, one of the things I would say, the simplest thing to do is to make sure that you are educated on this issue. To be educated concerning what the Lord says in His Word is our duty towards our neighbors. And so, for instance, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Or Proverbs 30, speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Or Proverbs 24:11, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. You know, in Galatians 6, Paul tells the church at Galatia, let us continue to do good to everyone, especially of the household of faith. Hmm. But the principle is do good to everyone. Love your neighbor as yourself, especially your own local church that you're a part of. But that's the first step, is actually know what is our duty towards our neighbors. And it's to treat them like we would want to be treated if we were in their situation. It's to rescue those being unjustly sentenced to death and carried off to death. And so it would be educating, making sure you understand what your duty is, and then examining what's actually going on. Where in Oklahoma, for instance, we're allowing 5,000 image bearers of God in the womb to be murdered every year under cover of law. And that's just the reported abortion numbers.
Hmm.
So that's the first step. Be educated on what the Word of God says is our duty to our neighbors, and then apply that to your neighbor in the womb, and then act accordingly.
Amen.
Speak up, speak to your friends, speak to your family, speak to those in your church about this great horror of abortion, that image bearers made in the image of God are being unjustly sentenced to death. Speak up to other people about this issue and about what our duty is to our neighbors, and then act accordingly.
You know, here in Kansas, we have an amendment coming up the next election. It's called Value Them Both Amendment. I realize and I know that you are already familiar with this because you were part of our conference that we held here. But
right.
So much of the Christian body just does not understand the difference between pro-life and abolitionism. I know myself, 15 months ago, if someone would have suggested to me to be an abolitionist, I wouldn't have had a clue of what they were talking about or what it meant even. And so I realize we need to educate our brothers and sisters that many of them are in the pro-life movement because that's the best they know to do.
That's right.
Is there some resources? I mean, clearly we start with scripture, but is there some resources that you would recommend people to go and to look at that would help them in understanding the difference between abolitionism and pro-lifeism?
Absolutely. I can recommend at least three that would be, I think, great starting points for that. And two of them are printed, and one of them is digital as far as like a podcast that you can tune into. And so I'll start with the digital one you could listen to or watch. And it's by an organization called Free the States, based out of Norman, Oklahoma. And their podcast is called The Liberator Podcast. The Liberator Podcast. Now, they have, I believe, over 80 episodes right now, most of them over an hour in length. And you can just go to their YouTube channel, Free the States, and find the Liberator Podcast, or you can Google Free the States or the Liberator Podcast and find a way to just listen to the audio if you prefer. And then you can look through the titles of all of those episodes. And really, if you're newer to this, I would recommend just starting with episode one and make it a priority to start listening through those where they're discussing these issues, the differences between pro-life and abolition. And pro-lifeism, which isn't really based on what the scripture says, is more based on secular humanism. And then that's opposed to abolitionism, which is based on this is what God's word says. And so let's act according to the teaching and the testimony, not according to the whims and wishes of the secular culture. So that's one. That's a digital resource, the Liberator Podcast by Free the States. And then as far as printed materials, Rescue Those, the organization that I'm a part of, we have a small booklet that is about 30 pages in length called How Can We Rescue Those Being Taken Away to Death? How can we rescue those being taken away to death? It's just simply saying, given the issue of abortion and the command of God in Proverbs 24:11 to rescue those being taken away to death, how do we actually do that? And we have five things that you can be doing to actually rescue your preborn neighbors. And so that's a short resource. It's very to the point. It's pithy. It's this is what the scripture says. This is how that would apply. And then another printed resource is a book called The Doctrine of Balaam. The Doctrine of Balaam. And it's written by a Reformed Baptist pastor named C.R. Calley, who lives in southern Texas. And it's, you know, 200-something pages, and it's a book, and it covers the differences between pro-life and abolition and exposes the holes in the pro-life movement and then lays a good foundation for abolitionism based on what the scripture says. So the Free the States podcast called the Liberator Podcast, the Rescue Those booklet, which you can get one for free. We'll mail you one for free if you go to rescuethose.com, or you can go on Amazon and order a book called The Doctrine of Balaam. All three of those are excellent introductory resources, and you will be, I think, well equipped by those. There are more out there, but those are the first three. There's a short read, a little bit longer read, and then a digital resource that you could listen to or watch.
Thank you. One last thing. I would like to just give you the opportunity to say anything that you feel led to say that I did not ask you to say, just that we get that out there and get what is on your heart to the people that they would hear by God's word through these things.
Yeah, thank you for that opportunity. I would encourage everyone to listen and because if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means Jesus has rescued you when you were stumbling to the slaughter for your own sin. Christ interposed his precious blood, came to the earth, became a human being, lived without stood in his crucifixion, taking the wrath and justice of God that we deserve, arose from the dead, 40 days later ascended to the right hand of the Father as our advocate, and is presently ruling and reigning from the right hand of God until he puts all of his enemies underneath his feet. He has rescued sinners like me and like you, believers, who are being taken away to death. And so I exhort you, do to others what Christ has done for you. In your much smaller way, not rescue, you can't rescue people from their sin like Christ has, but you are commanded to rescue those being taken away to death. And so see in that an opportunity to mirror the perfect work of Christ to save you from your sin. Now go and be like Christ and rescue your preborn neighbor who's being taken away to death. I would encourage you to do that, to mirror Christ in your rescuing of the preborn.
Amen. Amen. That sounded a little bit like the gospel to me, which is what we want to be about, exactly what we want to be about. If you would just hold on to line and let me finish this up, and then I'd like to visit with you a little further.
Sure.
Friends, this is Pastor Jim, and I just want to thank you for tuning into our program. And I also want to thank you for your action, whatever it is that God is going to call you to do in response to these interviews that you've been hearing and the call that we've been putting out for you to step up and to rescue those who are perishing, to stand in the gap, to become that person that God uses to save those who cannot stand up for themselves. Would like to offer one more resource, and you hear me talk about this all the time. This is our aimks.org website. If you have any questions or anything we can do to help you, you can contact us by getting on lightoftheworldradio.com and go to the contact us page and send us a message. There are our phone numbers on there. You can leave a message on that, and we will be glad to get back to you as soon as possible and answer those the best way we can. So until next time, Sola Deo Gloria. Friends, thank you for tuning in and to listening to our interview with Brother Brett Baggett. This subject of abolishing abortion, of course, is very dear to this pastor's heart. We want to stop the slaughter, the senseless slaughter, the needless, senseless slaughter of babies, unborn babies. These are human beings. From the moment of conception, these are human beings, and we need to stop the slaughter. They're being carried away. We need to stand in the gap, brothers and sisters. They can't, but you and I can. Let your church know that there is a better way than standing back and just wondering what you can do. You can be involved by becoming an abolitionist. You can be involved by trying to stop and getting together with others in your area to stop the slaughter of these babies. If you'd like to learn more, you could go to aimks.org. That's aimks.org. That is our AIM group, which AIM stands for Abortion is Murder. You can go to that site, and there's some information on there. There are groups of abolitionists popping up all over the country. They're all over most states, I think. And so surely there'd be somebody in your area that you can team up with to make the voice heard for these children so that their voices are not silenced in the womb, but make their voice heard. They want life. Don't they deserve that? Shouldn't you and I do all we can to save them? Again, it breaks this pastor's heart to see so many people going to the abortion clinics, going to kill their children, to murder their children. And then these children are being taken. They're in the womb, so they're being taken by at least their mother, in most cases their mother and their father. And sometimes their mother, their father, and their grandparents are taking them to be murdered. Oh, friends, not only do we need to be praying for these children, but we also need to be praying for those who have had the abortion. I have worked with many women over the years who have had an abortion. And I assure you, that they are broken because of it. So many times, and in fact, I think in all of my years of ministry, I've only met one person who would not admit that this was a turning point for disaster in their life. Oh, the abortion, that it just tears the woman up and destroys her. So it's really two lives being destroyed. And it destroys the husband, the father of the baby, whether it's a husband or a boyfriend or whatever it might be, if he knows that his child was taken and killed as well. But you and I, we can stand in the gap. We can go to the abortion clinics and say, this is killing your child. Let your child be adopted if you do not want it. Give that child life. Give that child a chance. Give that child hope instead of just killing it. Oh, friends, I sound like I'm on my soapbox when it comes to this subject, but it is so important. If we were to stand before God and to tell him that we did nothing, as if he needed us to tell him, but if we were to tell him we did nothing to stop the slaughter of these children, do you think he would be pleased with you? In Kansas here recently, they had what they called the Value Them Both Amendment to the Kansas Constitution. And what that amendment would have done is put the regulation of abortion into the hands of the legislature. And we were completely against it because they listed in that a number of reasons why abortions could still happen and said that it wasn't limited to just those things. We need to stop abortion, not limit it. God did not tell us to reduce murder. He said, thou shalt not murder. And that includes you and I not being a part of it in any way, even if it's passively being a part of it, by not standing in the gap. Thank you for listening to me, and I pray that you will take these things to prayer, because prayer is the most important part of this fight. That we are standing before God as we stand in the gap, that we are hearing from Him by His Word how He would have us to proceed, that we would have revival in our land, because that's really what is needed. We need revival, not only to end abortion, but to turn the church to God. I'm afraid that the American church has turned away from God, and we need to turn back to Him. We turn back to Him by repenting, by turning away from our sins, seeking His face. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. If they would humble themselves and pray, he says. And then the next word after the comma is, then, only then will I hear from heaven. And then he goes on to say he would wash their sins clean, their wickedness clean, and he would heal their land. Oh, may he heal our land. Friends, if you would like to contact us for any reason, more information about this, or to support this ministry, here's a few ways you can do that. One is by telephone. It's 1-800-416-9352. 1-800-416-9352. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. That is Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. And of course, you can reach us online at lightoftheWordRadio.com. That's lightoftheWordRadio.com. We would love to hear from you. Give us your comments. Give us your questions. We will serve you in any way that is possible. Light of the Word Radio is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Again, thank you for joining us, and until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.